Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. In our study of David, we most recently saw how the internal fight between the house of David and the house of Saul came to an end with the murder of Ishbosheth, Saul's son. This left David poised to rule the house of Israel and Judah. Representatives of all the tribes came to David while he was in Hebron and acknowledged that David would now be their king, recognizing that even in the time of Saul, it was David who had accomplished much. Together with the tribal representatives, David made an agreement with them to be their king, and David would rule over all of Israel and Judah for 33 years after having ruled over the house of Judah for 6.5 years. 1 Samuel chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that led us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. David and his men then went to Jerusalem to take it from the Jebusites who lived there. The Jebusites told David that if he wanted to take Jerusalem, he would not only have to kill them, he would have to kill the lame and blind who also lived there, thinking this would stop David. The Jebusites were using the tactic employed by dictators and corrupt governments of today. They use the lame and blind as human shields, much like people are used today as human shields to dissuade adverse military action. Just like children are used by warlords in Africa to wage war, the Jebusites likely employed the lame and blind to fight David and his men. David would not let these human shields stop him from his military goal of taking Jerusalem. He told his men to kill all who would fight him, including the lame and the blind. Anyone who would fight with the Jebusites would be killed. Now, some reading this passage from 2 Samuel mistakenly think David committed acts of genocide against people with disabilities. In this situation, David killed the blind and lame not because they had disabilities, but because they were aligned with the Jebusites. When we read the lame and blind are hated of David's soul, that passage could also be translated as the lame and blind were enemies of David. And in this case, solely because they were aligned with the Jebusites, not because they had disabilities. Later, we will read how David protected Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, who had a disability. Thousands of years later, in the time of Jesus, we know Jesus healed people with disabilities, often irritating the religious elite because sometimes this would happen on the Sabbath. If what David did to the blind and lame was indeed bad, Jesus could have, using language from today, canceled David for this action. And we know Jesus did not do this. We know from the verses that David built his power base around Jerusalem and became very strong. Verse 6. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same as the city of David. And David said on that day, Whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites, and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. So David dwelt in the fort, and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Millo and inward. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. As David's power grew, soon other rulers nearby sought to find favor with David. Hiram, king of Tyre, not only sent cedar trees to David, but also sent the artisans to build David a house. It was with this gift that David understood that God had established him as king of all Israel and had given the kingdom of Israel favor with other nearby countries. Verse 11. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and cedar trees and carpenters and masons, and they built David an house. And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. While living in Jerusalem, David had more concubines and wives, and had more sons and daughters born to him. Verse 13. And David took him more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem, after he was come from Hebron, and there were yet sons and daughters born to David. And these be the names of those that were born unto him in Jerusalem: Shemua, and Shobab, and Nathan, and Solomon, Ibhar also, and Elishua, and Napheg, and Japhia, and Elishama, and Eliada, and Eliphelet. It didn't take long for the Philistines to hear that David was now king over Israel, and they weren't pleased with this development. They were fully aware of the threat that David posed to them, and they sought to engage David in battle, just as his kingdom was being established, in an effort to eliminate the threat posed by David. Once again, David showed faith, not by assuming that God was with him in his plan, and in faith, David asked God if the Philistines should be engaged in battle, and God told David to fight them because they would lose to David. Verse 17. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. And David heard of it, and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." David came to what he named Baal Perazim, because his enemies came against him as a breach of waters, where David and the army of Israel destroyed the Philistines. Baal Perazim means possessor of the breaches. Left behind were Philistine idols which David and his men burned. It didn't take long for the Philistines to regroup to once again threaten David. With victory after victory behind David, it would be easy to assume that God would always let David be victorious. And yet, when threatened again, and when David asked if he should confront the Philistines, this time God said no. God instead told David to perform a flanking maneuver and engage the Philistines from the side. God knew the Philistines would be prepared in the front lines to engage and destroy David. By attacking from a different angle, David and his men were able to destroy the Philistines. In trusting God, we must always rely on God, not our own understanding. Just because an approach has consistently worked in the past and had God's blessing does not mean that same approach will find favor with God. The story from David shows that how God blesses us is not always through divine intervention, but through the result of our own actions that are aligned to God's will. God could easily take out any enemy threatening us without any action needed by us. The stories of David show that God rarely does this and instead uses each of us as we heed and obey God's will. And it comes through faith and asking God what God would have us do. Verse 20. And David came to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters." Therefore he called the name of that place Baal-perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, "Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." And David did so, as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. Years later, during the time of Jesus, Jesus had sent 70 people out to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God. And when they returned, they were very happy knowing that they had power over demons. And the reason they had power over demons was because they had faith in what Jesus was saying. And most important, they listened to and obeyed what Jesus told them. Jesus wanted the 70 to know that even though they had power over demons, they could, and by extension, we can take great comfort in knowing that our names are written in heaven. If we listen to what Jesus tells us to do and obey. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." And he said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." James urged the early church to submit to God, resist the devil, and to humble ourselves before God. Each time David asked God if he would attack the Philistines, David humbled himself before God. We must do the same. James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Peter also wrote of the need to humble ourselves before God, because there is our adversary who wishes to destroy us. Humbling ourselves before God involves bringing our cares before God and asking God for direction in our life. And if we listen to God, God will lead us in the direction that in due time will exalt us. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. David frequently asked God what he should do. Listening to God in these circumstances is part of how we listen to God. The other part of listening to God is to obey the commandments. And if we obey the commandments, there are multiple blessings that will come our way, including defeating our enemies. Just like David listened to God when he considered engaging the enemy in combat, David likely also observed the commandments of God, because even though David's life was challenging, there were many blessings throughout his life. Contrast the attitude of obeying God to the attitude of disobedience, and cursings will result. And that is a study for another day. Let's read on these promised blessings for obedience by reading Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning in verse 1. And it shall come to pass that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. Paul, in writing to the Romans, gives us comforting words because we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. Paul also tells us that as long as God is for us, it really doesn't matter who is against us. This all comes through listening to the voice of God, just like David did thousands of years ago. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? After settling his enemies, David turned from military conflict with neighboring lands and focused on an internal matter of relocating the Ark of the Covenant to the city of David. A huge group of men, 30,000, were assembled to march with the Ark of the Covenant. Part of the group was a marching band. It was a huge parade. The group eventually came to a stop at Nacon's threshing floor, where the ox pulling the cart that had the Ark of the Covenant became restless. Uzzah wanted to prevent the ark from falling over and put his hand on the ark to steady it. And because of this, God took his life. This upset David, and David stopped bringing the ark to the city of David and instead left it with the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. 2 Samuel 6, beginning with verse 1. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Bel of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of the God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day. And he said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Uzzah died because of presumptuousness, presuming that God was unable to protect his ark and touch the ark, which he could not do. We cannot presume that we can take away or add to what God tells us to do. And when we do, like Uzzah, death is a very real possibility. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 11 through 13. According to the sentence of the law which they shall teach thee, and according to the judgment which they shall tell thee, thou shalt do. Thou shalt not decline from the sentence which they shall show thee, to the right hand, nor to the left. And the man that will do presumptuously, and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister there before the Lord thy God, or unto the judge, even that man shall die. And thou shalt put away the evil from Israel. And all the people shall hear and fear, and do no more presumptuously. Even though we are given incredible minds, we must never forget that our entire life, including the gift of our mind, is a gift of God. We must always submit ourselves to the will of God, never considering that somehow we are above God. Because we live in a world that has made God after man's image and likeness, we live in a world that thinks very highly of its logic, reasoning, morality, and faith, not understanding that because that when it thinks it worships God, it instead worships itself. Paul wrote the Corinthians and warned them to never exalt who we are above God. Sadly, we live in a world where this happens every day. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Even though David was frustrated that Uzzah had been killed by God, eventually word got back to David that Obed-Edom's household was incredibly blessed because the Ark of the Covenant was there. David reconsidered his frustration at the death of Uzzah and decided to bring the Ark up to the city of David. Along the way, there were sacrifices and offerings to the sound of the trumpet. And David was so happy, he danced along the way. 2 Samuel 6, beginning with verse 12. And it was told King David, saying, "The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom, and all that pertaineth unto him, because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. As the procession came to the city of David, David's wife Michal saw him dancing in the street, and this upset her. After David had the Ark of the Covenant brought to the tabernacle, he returned to his house and found that Michal was still upset. She felt that David had acted shamelessly, and David shared there was no dishonor in doing what God expects. As a result, the marriage faded, and Michal had no more children until she died. Verse 16. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts, and he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well as to the women and men, to every one a cake of bread, and a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed every one to his house. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal the daughter of Saul came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids and of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself." And David said unto Michal, "It was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. And I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor." Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children unto the day of her death. After the Ark of the Covenant was at the tabernacle, David spoke to Nathan with a concern that even though he lived in a very fine house built of cedar, there was no home for God. David was concerned that the curtains of the tabernacle were not good enough for God. Initially, Nathan told David to do what he wanted to do because God was with him. And later that night, it didn't take long for Nathan to see he didn't give advice reflective of God's will. 2 Samuel chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in an house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains." And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee." And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shall thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle." In all the places whereof I walk with the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me an house of cedar? God went on to tell Nathan that David's throne would be established forever, and that a son of David, not David, would build a house for God. Verse 8. Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words, and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. When David was told what God's will was, that he would not be building a house for God, David, instead of getting angry at God, humbled himself before God. Verse 18. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee. Neither is there any God besides thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, O Lord, art become their God. Now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said. And let thy name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. With an understanding that he was not to build a house for God, David instead returned his focus to the aggressors living nearby and destroyed the Philistines and took Methegama out of the hands of the Philistines. History has lost sight of what Methegama was. This is the only verse using this word. Many think Methegama was a city or region that became part of Israel. In addition to destroying the Philistines, David also took on the people of Moab, and it didn't take long for the people of Moab to bring tribute to David. David's conquest went as far as the Euphrates River, where he captured 1,000 chariots, 700 horsemen, and 20,000 footmen. David had all but 100 of the chariot horses put down. 2 Samuel 8, beginning with verse 1. And after this it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them, and David took Methegama out of the hands of the Philistines. And he smote Moab and measured them with a line, casting them down to the ground. Even with two lines measured he to put to death, and with one full line to keep alive. And so the Moabites became David's servants and brought gifts. David smote also Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah, and he went to recover his border at the river Euphrates. And David took from him 1,000 chariots and 700 horsemen and 20,000 footmen. And David hoed all the chariot horses, but reserved of them 400 chariots. David would take on the Syrians and became so powerful, he was able to establish garrisons in Syria and had the Syrians bring tribute to David. Wherever David went, he had military success after military success, eventually even establishing garrisons in the land of Edom. In each location, the people became servants of David. Verse 5. And when the Syrians of Damascus came to succor Hadadezer, king of Zoab, David slew of the Syrians 22,000 men. Then David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became servants to David and brought gifts, and the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. And David took the shields of gold that were on the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem. And from Bataan and from Berothai, cities of Hadadezer, King David took exceeding much brass. When Toi, king of Hamath, heard that David had smitten all the hosts of Hadadezer, then Toi sent Joram, his son, unto King David to salute him and to bless him, because he had fought against Hadadezer and smitten him. For Hadadezer had wars with Toi. And Joram brought with him vessels of silver and vessels of gold and vessels of brass, which also King David did dedicate unto the Lord with the silver and gold that he had dedicated of all nations which he subdued, of Syria and of Moab and of the children of Ammon and of the Philistines and of Amalek, of the spoil of Hadadezer, son of Rehob, king of Zobah. And David gat him a name when he returned from smiting of the Syrians in the Valley of Salt, being 18,000 men. And he put garrisons in Edom. Throughout all Edom put he garrisons, and all they of Edom became David's servants. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. David continued to reign over Israel and was well respected as king and established an inner cabinet to support his leadership. Verse 15. And David reigned over all Israel, and David executed judgment and justice unto all his people. And Joab the son of Zeruiah was over the host, and Jehoshaphat the son of Ahilud was recorder, and Zadok the son of Ahitub and Ahimelech the son of Abiathar were the priests, and Seraiah was the scribe, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada was over both the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and David's sons were chief rulers. Next week, we will continue our study of David. And in 2 weeks, we will observe the Feast of Trumpets. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.